actually finally showed up yesterday?
Well, you know, we like Andre's size. We like his speed. He's what we call a long, L-O-N-G, long guy. So he's got to work getting off the line of scrimmage, the press, because all these a little longer striders, that's their one of their biggest challenges, getting off the press. Michael Irvin was a master at it. He was a little bit of a long strider, yet he was able to just develop techniques that they actually passed rules against when he would work ways to quickly knock the D-back's hands off of him. So that's the way that we've got to see Holmes develop. He's certainly got a setback there early. He's a conscientious player. He's got a real chance for us. Plus, he's a favorite and would be a favorite of quarterbacks, certainly is of Tony, with all that size out there. You always like to know that you've got a guy that can outman those D-backs.
Speaking of size, I know the wide receiver depth is something that's crucial for the Cowboys. Miles Austin's situation is still a little up in the air, but he'll be back, I'm sure. Plaxico Burress's name has been bandied about, and he's a big guy. He does exactly what Andre Holmes is wanting to do, throw it up in the air, he goes and gets it. Have you guys chatted with Plaxico Burress, or will you?
No, we have not. Now, you know, a lot of times we'll have a situation. His agent's Drew Rosenhaus. We obviously visit with him from time to time about, let's say, he was as recently as 2 weeks ago representing Mike Jenkins. And so a lot of times those guys will drop names all over the place, but we haven't internally really discussed him or looked at Plaxico seriously, and that's about where it is. But we have not. No, he's not. As we sit here this morning, he's not in our picture.
Do you see a benefit in developing some of these young wide receivers on your team that are looking pretty good, Tim Benford, you know, Cole Beasley, or do you see more value in going after an experienced vet like some of those guys out there on the market, like Plaxico and Terrell before he signed with Seattle?
Well, good morning, Jane. And the thing that you got to remember is that last year we did the very same thing, and but the Robinson became available. And we decided that he was a good enough prospect, and he was a good enough player that we'd put him in the mix. But we didn't do that. Robinson did that. He became available. We looked at where else we were and thought he could add to it. Turned out it worked good. We cut him after the first game and then ended up bringing him back after San Diego had cut him. So there's a time that probably – if you've gone through your preseason games, there's a better time to do this as far as we're concerned, and it's when all the clubs, and we'll be included, will be cutting back from 90 players to 53 players, and a lot of times you see them keep, let's say they kept a young receiver at the expense of being able to keep a veteran receiver, and that veteran receiver could be better than what we've seen so far. So those are the circumstances, but that's not... That's not something you put down today and say, here's where we're going to be at receiver. The real world is that we've got a lot to see before we know where we are at the third receiver, fourth receiver, fifth receiver.
Still early, and just following up with that question, how many receivers do you see yourself keeping with Austin and his hamstring history, and Dez still unclear if Roger Goodell is going to hand down a suspension?
Has everything to do with how many backs we keep. Whether we keep three backs and then two fullbacks, whether we keep three and one fullback, whether we keep three tight ends, two tight ends, four tight ends, whether we keep nine offensive linemen or whether we keep 10 or 11 offensive linemen. I'm not trying to be facetious in one, but whether we keep six D linemen for three spots or seven like we did last year. We've got a lot of competition out there at outside linebacker. We might end up with five or six linebackers. At the end of the day, position where we are in numbers at other positions dictate how many receivers or how many D-backs you keep.
We're speaking with Jerry Jones. It's the Jerry Jones Show on the Elfin Slater Show every Friday on 105.3 The Fan, the home of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's talk offensive line, Jerry, because that seems to be the one position where depth is always needed, but you're shuffling a lot of guys around. Finally saw Nate Livings out here running around a little bit. Yeah, give me your take on the offensive line thus far, and where do you see it going?
Well, we got, of course, Bernardo back yesterday, and or day before, and then he went team yesterday in some contact looked good doing it, really looked good doing it. If that would be very encouraging. You know, our plan was we spent a considerable amount of money bringing in Bernardo and Livings. We certainly are counting on Livings returning here in the near term, being within a week or 10 days or somewhere in that range. So, candidly, then we brought in Dockery. Dockery had kind of a, for us, tough go of it last year. We brought him in right as the season started. He got hurt and didn't have the year that we had thought he would be. But he's a big, long-armed offensive lineman with some experience. He looked good yesterday. Bernardo looked good yesterday. We know Livings looked good before he had this neck. He'll be back. We know that Costa's looking good. Then we've got young guys, Leary, and we've got Arkin in there. I'm starting to feel real good as you can feel at this time, about the interior of our offensive line. I like our size, our bulk. We've got Kowalski, a little smaller, that won't be back until maybe right at the start of the season. Nagy's going to be gone for the year, in my view. And so Kowalski gives us that position flex of center and guard. When you add all that up, I really like what's happening, especially with Bill Callahan, our new coach, and he's really been impressive.
You know, the tight end position is also something extremely important. You know, Martellus Bennett no longer here. You guys drafted Hannah. John Phillips is nursing the ankle. And, of course, we know who Jason Witten is, and Serba has been brought on board. You told me last year in San Antonio you really liked number 55, Alex Albright, and coming along as defensive end linebacker. Now he's shifted over to a little bit of quasi tight end. Your thoughts on what he's doing so far?
Well, when you see that happening, you see your coach is trying to help him make the team because they like what he's doing on special teams. Number one, he's one of the top three or four of our special teams players. At 6'5", 255, 250 pounds, that's a big deal for him to be a good special teams player. That's rare. So that's a big plus for him. He's got some real competition now. We brought in Wilbur as a draft pick. He's really looked good. We had Butler as backup to Spencer and Ware. He's got some competition, but they're even trying to flex him over and let him play a little inside linebacker. So you can see he's a pet cat, and they're trying to help him make this team with the position flexibility. It's not uncommon on the goal line, short yardage situations for teams to use linebackers, usually a tight end for a blocking, for the blocking, obviously, blocking tight end, or a tackle, or a lineman, or another position guy to make up for when you don't have the perfect fit at a blocking tight end as your third guy. We have Hannah from Oklahoma, who I think is having a really good camp. He's really been consistent, and he really catches the ball good. He will stick his face up in there. Like any college tight end, he's got some things to learn about how to block somebody, especially when you're blocking down on those big defensive tackles in the NFL. Having said all of that, that mix right there, it looks promising.
Staying with the tight end theme, we noticed a bunch yesterday as we're looking at some of the schemes you guys are putting out. They're using more tight ends, so you're lining up three tight ends out there. Will there be a bigger emphasis on using those guys just in the play system?
Well, I always thought when we had Martellus Bennett and Jason Witten that when we'd come out of training camp, that'd be a strength because Martellus is an outstanding blocker. But he also would have literally wild days catching the ball. He wasn't consistent, and, of course, in the clutch, he had his chances and didn't do as well as we'd wanted him to do. John Phillips gives us a chance to go in with at least two tight ends, multiple set type tight ends. This is a great mismatch. Those tight ends are when they can run routes against corners and sometimes even linebackers because they're usually quicker and faster than linebackers. John Hanna's going to give us that. I can think we can do that. I picture tight ends, of course, You haven't gotten there yet. I may be getting ahead of you. Fullback is a place where we've got some guys that can catch the ball but have instincts blocking as well, picking up the real threat of making the tackle when they go up in that line ahead of the running back. So all of that tight end fullback thing is usually kind of in the same mentality when it goes to our formations offensively.
Jerry, you know, one of the things that we've been noticing out here when we come out here is we watch the practice just like everybody else does, and there are players that wow us that we don't expect, and there are players that you should expect to wow you, and they still do. Who has wowed you in the few days that you've been out here and you go, man, I spent some good money on that guy?
Well, I'll go right to where, and that's an easy one. I'll go to Romo, and that's an easy one. That ball gets out quick. He's working on that. I was up there watching practice yesterday with John McAvoy, former Kansas City coach of Texas. Many of you remember him. And he was talking about how he was trying to time how long the quarterback was holding the ball before he released it. And even though the ball goes out in practice, it wouldn't go out in a ball game. He's held it too long, and we know from experience, he would not have held it that long had he gotten tackled. But also, he was one of the first to ever continually chart the time of release of a quarterback during all of the year. And so that you could sit down with a guy like McGee and say, look here, Steven, you are sitting here bringing that ball out in 2.7 seconds, 2.3 seconds. That's not going to get it. You're going to get sacked. You got to get the ball out quicker. So I like the way Romo's getting the ball out. I like really the way Orton's getting the ball out. We've done something there, which one of the highlights of our camp, and you asked me about the wow, is Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton's going to be a guy that can come in, and the definition of backup quarterback is a guy that can win you as many as two games. He's good enough to do that. I can see that.
You know, the matchups that we watch every day in practice, and I know you guys, when you're even in the tower or just on the field, there are certain matchups that you watch. And we can understand now why Dez is such a critical part of this team. Watching Dez Bryant and Brandon Carr go one-on-one every day has been amazing to watch.
Well, and can you imagine what it's doing for both of them, particularly Dez, to have that kind of competition? It'll make games equal to or easier than that. That happened with Irvin and Deion Sanders. They'd battle it out in practice, and games would be an easier go for them against that type competition. That's what, to me, you see there. But, we're talking about a lot of maintenance. He's been the subject of a lot of talk this training camp, but he wouldn't be getting the subject of the talk if he weren't that impressive on the football field.
We were talking about this the other day, Jerry, just the identity of this Cowboys football team. A lot of us were kicking it around, and we still haven't been able to come up with a discernible identity for this team. Asking you, what do you think is the identity of this team?
You know, that puzzle. I've always thought the identity of a team was influenced by the offensive line and guys like Colombo that we've had here in the past, but a tough, physical, be able to really maul, whatever you want to call it, to handle a defensive front. And more often than not, I've seen a team's identity affected by the mentality of their offensive line. I would have to say that we've got the kind of talent. It's not impossible that this team's defense become its calling card. The talent is out there. And, of course, the style of Rob Brian with his blitzing or his thesis of making a bad play create a turnover or create a punting situation, that could become an identity. I've seen defenses become the Doomsday or going way back, the Chinese Bandits of national champion LSU. That's way, way back when I was a kid. But our defense could become part of the identity of this thing or a significant part of what you think of when you think of this team.
Have you noticed a change in just the personalities out there? I mean, in the past, the Cowboys have had some really colorful characters out there on the practice field. It seems like they're more gelling. There's not necessarily a player that stands out now.
Well, when you talk about stand out, Jane, I'm not sure if I'll answer it as standing out as far as his play or standing out as far as his personality. Let's talk about personality. This Vickers has a on-field personality. I love guys that can play physical, play hard, deliver, as well as create a little humor or create a little attitude on the field. We all refer to Michael Irvin, but there's others maybe in even a lesser role. Vickers has got it. He's a good influence. He's a good influence off the field in the dressing room. He's a good influence on the field. He lightens it up out there a little bit. This is a real physical thing, to not only two-a-days, but football, and humor has a place in it, and he does that.
You know, you guys play the Raiders in the first game on Monday night out in Oakland. Can you share with us what goes into the whole thing about just to travel there, play the game, then get back here? How does that all happen for you guys?
Well, it's a part of training camp, of rehearsing, if you will. Because we have to do that 8 times during the season, and plus potentially in playoffs. So it's part of being an NFL football player is learning how to have a business trip, and that's what it is. And you'd be surprised. There's a lot of guys that are starting to travel with their college teams, but they haven't gotten or been around the regime. And I'm talking rookies now, first year free agents. But this will allow us to not only go in, we'll do the night before, in this case, at Oakland, we'll go in early, and we'll have our meetings and have our team meetings and then have individual position meetings. So that goes on. With the game being a late afternoon game, 5 o'clock, they'll get most of that work done at during the day on Monday. On the other hand, it'll be a good time to understand we're not up there to goon around in Oakland and San Francisco, so we want to stay in and be business in the hotel. That's all a part of getting it down. Now, we're a road team. John Madden said this, but I'll reiterate it. Nobody travels like the Cowboys, and so we always have a really impressive throng of fans preseason or regular season that are around our hotels and meet us as we come in. It's like a touring rock star group.
Is there a position on Monday night that you'd like to see, I don't know if the word is solidify or step up more than any other position, that you personally might have questions about on Monday night's preseason game?
Well, I'd say fundamentally, I know that Rob's between a rock and a hard place. He wants to see some of the things he's installing, yet he doesn't want to give it up and show opposing teams. So every team in the NFL will get a copy of the film of us playing the Raiders, just like we get copies of the film of every team that have played the last 2 days and will play tonight. With that and over the weekend. So with that in mind, you don't want to show everything you're doing, yet we need to work on it. So that's what he's dealing with. But I'd say rather than by position, I'd say you'd say you always want to see your young guys, the guys that not necessarily a car. I know what car is, that's a new guy, but not necessarily one you got questions about. But a lot of these young guys, and I'd like to see if we have them ready. Some of these interior offensive linemen, let's just see how they handle it. You can tell that. Just basic playing, pretty plain, no offense or defense.
Speaking with Jerry Jones, it's the Jerry Jones Show every Friday with Elfin Slater on 105.3 The Fan, the home of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Jerry, it was great the other day out on the field. We got a chance to say hello to you again. You got a chance to meet Slater, of course. And the other day when we spoke to you on Tuesday, when you mentioned how pretty Jane was, and we all know that on the air, I'm not sure you know what that did to her, because last night, this is the effect that you have had on her, Jerry. We went out last night and we found a karaoke bar in Oxnard, and I want you to just take a listen to Slater's tribute to you at the karaoke bar. Here it is.
No, I'm going to dedicate this to Jerry Jones.
Oh, no.
She wants Jerry Jones.
Not Maura or Kraft.
You quit referring to her as Slater. It's Jane to me. That's Jane. Yeah, I didn't even know who he was talking about. I don't like to refer to my people I'm sensitive about as with their last name. It's Jane.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, that what I said in the song, I don't want Maura or Kraft.
Call me Jerry.
Or I'll call Jerome. You Jerry.
I go by Jerome with you.
Jerry, you've just been such a treat out here at Oxnard, so thank you for being so sweet.
You bet. You bet, honey. And let's have a good day.
All right, Jerry Jones, thank you so much.
I'll see you, Jane. I'll see you between the 35 and 50-yard line in just a few minutes.
All right.
I'm going to go get, you know what, I'm going to go get the kicking team, because it seems like we're going to have the kickoff. All right, Jerry, thanks so much. Good luck on Monday night with the Raiders.
Hey, Jane, have you seen the field from the tower? Come up there with me this afternoon.
Well, okay, Jerry, I'll take you up on that.
Okay. Let's have a good day.
All right, thank you so much. Jerry Jones Show brought to you by Bank of America, official bank of the Dallas Cowboys, and Ford, official vehicles of the Dallas Cowboys. Ford is the best in Texas. You have a new partner on the Fan.